Well, we're going to look at a topic today. It's concerning God's will. And I had some nice fancy titles for it after. But I put this title on it, you know, really boring guy. God's will. Well, it's not that boring, but thy will be done. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you very much for that comment. you know, I'll give you some of those thoughts later. I want to talk about, you know, the will of God. And so you can find your own title because it's a message to you. And this is what God gave me because you're special, because God loves you. And I've been praying. I was praying and asking God, you know, I've been so busy with different things and lots of stuff on my plate. I got home, and right away I'm doing business, just driving down the road, coming in, and then go to sleep, and then run to the college and get into all kinds of meetings and all kinds of phone calls and different things. And really, yesterday, after the funeral, I had a few hours, and I went to sleep for 2 hours in the afternoon. And I woke up, it felt like a brand new day, another extra day. So thank God he multiplied my day. And I had a really good sleep. Because if you're on the road all the time, you're not sleeping in your own bed, and you're eating other people's food and different things like that. So anyway, who's complaining? But it was nice to be away. Sometimes you say, I wish I was on the road. And you get on the road and say, I wish I was home. and so on. But anywhere I'm with my wife, I don't care how long I'm gone. Amen. But when I'm with her about half a day, I want to go home right away. My kids say to me, how come you guys go to church together? You go to do the pastoring together? Then you teach together? You spend all your time together? And don't you get sick of each other? And so, well, no. So anyway, one day we sat the girls down. It wasn't too long ago. We said, girls, we need to talk to you guys. And they said, oh, my Lord, what's happening? Are they divorcing? Because all their families are getting, you know. And so anyway, we said, girls, you'll never hear that from us because we're committed Christians. You know, when you get two committed Christians, you'll never divorce. But if you get one, then maybe you might have it. But it's not God's will to have a divorce. It's not God's perfect will. But murder is, somebody said. Murder is. it's nice to you know, be back in a groove. So this is going to be my first normal week coming back. And so tonight I'll partake in part of the ceremonies for the leadership essentials. So anyway, I just want to talk to you because I just need to talk to you. And a lot of times I'm just not just a pastor who just gives sermons. I want to talk to people, let them know what's going on in my life as much as I can, and let you know about stuff, why I'm not here. And then sometimes I can't be here because of other matters. But I'm back. I'm back. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So anyway, thank you, Corey, wherever you are. Is Corey here today? Oh, he's telling me something over here. Corey, you better get to church. No, he's probably working somewhere else today with the boys. So God's will, let's go to our Bibles, praise God. We're going to talk about the will of God and thy will be done. So we will look at, whose will are you doing? How about that title? Whose will are you doing? Matthew chapter 6. Verse 10, and then we're going to go Matthew 26, verse 39. And whose will are you doing? Jesus is praying and giving the disciples leadership principles. And we don't say these prayers. I know in one denomination I got out of, came from, we repeat these prayers verbatim. And this was our prayer. And I guess it's okay, but there's more to it than just repeating those principles. So when you begin to know the will of God, you pray a little bit different as you go along. So the kingdom, thy kingdom come, Jesus said, thy will be done. Let's go say that three times together. Thy will be done. Everybody now, come on. Thy will be done. Now one more time. Thy will be done. So we know, according to Jesus, that there is a will of God. He says, thy will be done. He says, thy kingdom come. Or he says that earlier. He says that. So thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In other words, heaven is a perfect place where everything is harmonious, beautiful, no lack, no sickness, no disease, no pain, where we don't have any agitation, no fear. But God says, whatever's going on in heaven, I want in your life. That's what he said right there. And so he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Matthew 26:39, Jesus is going to the cross, something he dreaded. I think a lot of us don't like going to the cross. That is dying to different things and leaving our flesh, what our flesh likes, what we like naturally. It doesn't always have to be a really, really negative sin, but it's something maybe you're doing that is not quite sin. It's called weights. Extra things that we're doing is not out of the will of God. It's not in the will of God, but it's something extra we're doing, the permissive will of God, that is an activity outside of the perfect will. And it's a dangerous place to be in, because sometimes you do that, it's where the devil can have access to you. It's in the perfect will of God, in the presence of God, that where the devil can't have any access to you. It's in his perfect will that he doesn't have that access. Amen. It's when you begin to do things outside of the will of God, doing things that are not necessarily sinful, but things that are not where you're supposed to be. And so we see Jesus praying. He went on a little further, Matthew 26:39, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will. We see here, he said, not as I will. We see the will of man. That's his humanness talking. Not as I will. See, you have a will. And he had a will to obey his Father, to go to the cross. And you and I have a position right now to obey God and go to our cross and do what God wants us to do in obedience to his perfect plan. Amen. Doing God's will doesn't always seem sometimes exciting right away, but it leads to a great, very great place. Amen. Now, he prayed that prayer in a time of great, great turmoil. He said, if this be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou will. Whatever you want, Father, I'm going to do. Now, I want to preface what I'm about to say about what's happened since the turn of 2016. I gave a message. I was going to give a message today, the things you ought not to stop doing in 2017. That was going to be my message, but God changed what I was going to do this morning. Then I went to another message. I went to three other messages, and I went over these things, and God began to speak to me as I followed my spirit. It's a good place to be, because I wanted to follow my head, because this is, you're trying to work out things, but God began to lead me. He said to me, there's people who've come to the altar, and that's where it stops. And then the other message I saw that I was going to give you, what happens after the altar? What are the next steps you perform after coming to the altar and someone praying for you? And I've seen this so many times over the year as a pastor. People come up, they cry and shake and have snotty faces and just sobbing away. And they go back to their seat And after church, they forget about what happened. When something significant happened at the altar, and they come and give their lives to Jesus Christ, and they heard the great message, and they submitted themselves, apparently. But they never come back to church. They don't read their Bibles. They don't connect with Christians. They don't get involved in the church. You know, getting involved in a local church is the will of God for every Christian. And if you're not involved in the will of, in getting involved in some kind of activity in the church, you're out of the will of God. You're too busy in your life. Oh, well, he's already spanking everybody. He's gone for 14 days, and he's coming back with a whip. Well, sorry about that, people. Praise God. But I want to show you, give you a couple more scriptures, extra scriptures. You don't mind if I give you extra scriptures about the will of God? Colossians chapter 1, here Paul is praying for the church at Colossae. And yesterday my wife and I were praying for the church here this morning, for this morning's service. I can see half of our prayers work this morning. I guess that her half didn't work out. I love my wife so much. I'll give her half of my prayer. Honey, thank you for that. Thank God. Colossians chapter 1. Aren't you glad you're in a good church?
Amen.
That I'm beautiful?
Amen.
That you're wonderful?
Amen.
And that you're obedient?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Colossians chapter 1. Paul is praying for the church at Colossae, and he's being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not Paul writing. This is the Holy Spirit, through Paul, giving a message to Colossae and to us today.
Amen.
He says, so we have not stopped praying for you. This is the NLT. So we have not stopped praying for you since the day we heard about your faith. We ask God to give you complete knowledge. This is the Holy Spirit talking to Paul, talking through Paul to you. He said, God wants to give you knowledge. Complete knowledge of His will. God wants you to know His will. That He sent Paul and all the other apostles and the prophets and Jesus and to show, demonstrate what God's will is. And yet we have thousands of people that are disobedient, not following the plan of God, let alone those of people that are in church, they're having a hard time following God, but those outside the church, what happened to them? Imagine what, there's no parameter and no discussion about how to help people but themselves. Proverbs said there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction.
Amen.
And spiritual wisdom and understanding, then the way you live will always honor and please God or the Lord. Your lives will be productive or will produce every kind of good fruit. See, God wants us to live a life that's honorable. He wants us to be productive. What are you producing? And that's what He's saying here. Every kind of good fruit. All the while, as you grow, you will learn to know God better and better. Don't you know that when you get involved in the local fellowship, in church and working with alongside other Christians that you might not enjoy personally outside of the church, you may never ever get to understand and know someone in the church from a different culture, from a different plateau of life, until you get to work with them in here. And God wants you to, and you'll learn something valuable for your own life while working with somebody that's totally different from you. They see life a lot different. I know that when certain people join my fellowship and become part of our church and they walk along, I work with them, and they kind of challenge me. So I have to say, okay, I'm going to have to change my perspective on certain things. And it's a good way to be flexible, to see other people's point of view. It's nice. So as you grow and learn God better and better, we also pray that you'll be strengthened with all His glorious power, that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. You may be filled with the joy of always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us in the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgive our sins. That Bible tells you right now that you're free. If you're suffering from any kind of addiction, the Bible says you're free. Your body doesn't know it. Maybe your mind is not trained to know that. If you listen to your body, you'll do whatever you want to do. If you listen to your own mind, you'll think whatever you want to think. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Amen. Just because you think another way, it doesn't mean you're right. There's another way to think. God has another way to think. Amen. And it's not like yours. Or mine. So Paul is talking here about the will of God. If you want to know what the will of God, read that prayer. And start performing it. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 says, Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship, a servant of Jesus Christ, sends you greetings. He always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect or mature, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. So it shows us here that we need to pray for certain people that they would follow not just the part of the will of God, but all the will of God. Verse 17, Paul is reminding the church at Colossae and those people there, he's reminding them about there's a certain guy in the church that's not come up to the part where he should be. He fell off of doing what God told him to do. He says, say to Archippus, be sure you carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. What about you and I? What ministry did God give us to do? Or is money too more important than doing what God says? Is that extra 20,000 a year more important than following what God wants you to do? Or taking that vacation when you should be following God? Sometimes you have to say no. If you made a promise to somebody, you keep it. Even if it's going to cost you something. In the end, it's going to work out. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 to 12, Paul is talking here again by the Holy Spirit to the church at Philippi. Somebody says that Paul was a baker. And that Paul's dad, personal dad, was one of those thieves on the cross with Jesus. Because he said, my old man died with Christ. Never mind. Okay. He says, I pray, verse 9, I pray that your love will grow, overflow more and more. How many people's love needs to grow a little bit more? How many's love needs to grow? How many need a little bit more love? Pray for your friends. Amen? You know, there's the love of God in us. We need to grow. And then there's different kinds of loves. We learn how to love people. It's not automatic. We need to learn how to love. There's an art to love people. It doesn't happen automatic because somewhere we're conditioned certain along certain lines to love the beautiful and the nice people only. That you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless until the day of Jesus Christ. We can camp right there all day long to live pure. I'm preaching to myself right now. We want to live pure and holy. Amen? May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring him much glory and praise to God. This is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Always be joyful. Everybody say, always be joyful. Always be joyful. So you might not be happy this morning, but you can be joyful. That's right. Woohoo! Okay? So I tell people this morning, okay, everybody praise. There was not even half the crowd praising with me this morning. Just, oh, yeah, okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know? So you think I enjoyed this, doing this, trying to cheer you on too? Amen. Okay, so either or. Okay, so always be joyful. It didn't say just when you enjoy the song. Always be joyful. Like, act like it's, do something and smile at somebody. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Is that hard to do? Well, I just went through some hard time. It's hard to do, naturally speaking, but spiritually speaking, it's easier to do. So he says, for this is God's will to you who belong to God. God's will is that we be joyful all the time, right here. God's will is that we never stop praying, always pray. God's will is that we can be thankful in all circumstances. That's the will of God. We're asking, thy will be done, Lord. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God wants you to do something with your body, because your body wants to do something different than what God wants it to do. It wants to smoke cigarettes, lie around, eat all day. Or whatever our problem is. Some of you have a problem with your appetites, whatever it is. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm not going to name them. You know what they are. But God says you need to bring that to God. And then we say, oh, God, help me. I don't want this cigarette. Well, he don't want it either. He doesn't smoke. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or reasonable worship, spiritual worship. And be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't act like the world, think like the world, feel like the world, do whatever it wants to do like the world does. It doesn't care about God, doesn't care about pleasing God. It wants to do whatever it wants to do, and that's what the world does, right? It has its own standards and values. So it says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we see that in there. So there is a perfect will of God. And so we need to change our minds to see some things here. Is this too hard for you? Because I feel like something's going down, down, down over here. Okay, so Romans 8, 26, 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You know, Jesus died for our infirmities. Amen. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will take your infirmities. Amen. That's all. He says he'll help our infirmities. No, he says, likewise, the Spirit also. Well, why did he say that? Because Jesus took infirmities too, and the Holy Spirit will take also the other infirmities. So Jesus and the Holy Spirit are doing the same thing, and they're helping us. God's Son did something, died for our infirmities. And the Holy Spirit takes our weaknesses, and look what he does. He says, for we know our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's an infirmity. We don't know exactly the will of God. We should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or himself, makes intercession for us with groanings. Like when we pray, there's the will of God's going to be manifested. Which cannot be uttered, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He has his own mind. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Yeah, that's what it says there. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. So there is a calling purpose, and we can't even get there unless we pray the will of God in the Spirit. That's part of it. Okay, now, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants heaven on earth for you. God wants heaven on earth for you and me. God wants us to be free and to be blessed immeasurably. Being in God's will cause us to live in heaven on earth. We can experience a little bit of heaven on earth, but enjoying the heaven on earth means that we have to be in the perfect will of God. It means knowing His plan and purposes for our lives. It means obeying Him at all times, but we can know God's perfect will. How can we know that if we never know what the Bible says about His plan and purpose? The Bible reveals to us what His will is, both generally and specifically. So a specific will is a little harder to find out because it takes some time, effort on our part to get sensitive and to pray and to always be 24/7 seeking what God wants best for our lives. It's not always what we want. So where do we begin? How can we know or ascertain what God's will is? Where do we begin to find out what God desires for us? Never mind, generally, but specifically speaking. Some have referred to accidents that happen in life as an act of God. Insurance companies say that that's an act of God when something happens and a tornado rips through something and everybody dies and all kinds of turmoil, people lose money, so forth. They said it's an act of God. They call it that. Disaster strike. It's an act of God. When a young man dies prematurely at 34 years of age, leaving his young family behind. A young mother dies, leaving his small children. They say, oh, that's an act of God, that God's will. God took that young woman. God took that young man. God never took any young person to heaven in their prime of life with little children. God never did that. No, He never did. God never struck anybody with cancer. And people believe that. They say, oh, God's teaching me something. He's teaching me a lesson. He's teaching me something here. There's a lesson in it. The lesson is you're stupid. And whoever you're under is teaching you something that whatever. That's not God teaching you that. Get away from that church. Come on over here. Yeah, that's true. People, they say things like that, and it's just so hard to hear. What kind of a God is that? No wonder I ran away from church when I was a kid. I said, I ain't going back to church. They tried to kill me over there. And I went to a program of AA. They said, you got to find God. Go back to church. I said, I ain't going back there. They tried to kill me. Because I blame God. They told me that God did that. It's God's will that I was poor to teach me a lesson. And so all these kind of things. So, sick God, ever sick. Yeah. How can you tell somebody said, how can I tell if healing is God's will? They say, when you ask for somebody to pray, they ask you to pray for them, but they don't know if God's will, if I should pray for them. Is God's will for you to, I don't know. Well, you better find out before I lay hands on you because it's not going to work. Right? So, how can God call, if God called you to this church, how can you should know. If God called you here, you have to know. You have to know where God called you. If you go to another church, you got to know if God called you there. How do you know? There's a way to know. You can't just blindly go somewhere and just be somewhere and say, well, I'm here. How do we know if we're in the right place, picking to the right person for our marriage? There's a right way to know. To pick someone for marriage. Where does He want me to live? What career should I live in? What career should I have? We talked about church and all that stuff. All these questions. God wants us to have wisdom, insight into all the plan and His purpose for that. They say, there's three opinions in life. Number one. There is your opinion, God's opinion, and everybody else's opinion, right? Yeah, so there's always a right way and wrong way. Always the right way is ours usually, and everybody's the wrong way. So there's the right way, wrong way. We have to know the will of God. Being in the will of God means that we must know what He wants for us. That only comes from understanding the covenant. How we can follow the will of God means we have to read the word, obey it, apply it daily, the general will, and get into the specific things of God. We have to follow the specific things by understanding the leading of God, the witness. We have to follow the witness and not our heads. Trust the Lord with all our heart. Amen. Not our heads, he says in there. So we have to do something with our bodies and our mind. We have to renew our mind and not follow whatever our body tells us, because your body has different appetites outside of the will of God. As we read, God told the church at Ephesus, over here, Ephesians 5:17, he says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God wants us to understand what is the will of the Lord for our lives right now. What does he want? So I said, you know, there are a lot of people that are involved in different kinds of activities, but they're not really finding out what God wants them to do. So I put a little caption here this morning, inviting a few folks to come to church. And hopefully they saw that, maybe tuned in. So, okay, it doesn't want me to hook in here. Okay, so sometimes people don't know what God wants them to do, so they just do whatever they think is best. They kind of make a best plan out of their head. And then they're into things that they're all down the road over there. They spend a lot of money, a lot of time. They say, I'm not going to quit. No, I invested a lot of money, a lot of time over here. And so they keep going, end up in the wrong spot where God never intended them in the place. And so they get into all kinds of social, emotional, and mental problems because they're in the wrong place. Amen. And they don't feel safe. And they don't know how to get out of this and how to stop this. And yet they keep going and going and going. And they have unrest in them. God says, I don't want you to be in unrest. I want you to know that even when you're having trouble, I want you to know that I'm there with you. This is not my plan, but I'm going to take you through this. God wants us to know that. And so sometimes they've gone down the road far too long that they can't quit. God wants us to be grateful in every situation, going through every situation, because knowing that he's going to help us get out of certain things. God wants us, according to James 1:2-4, he says that we need to be patient. And in our patience, our faith is working out the plan that we may be perfectly unwanting. It says there, wanting nothing. That's a little heaven on earth. Having all our needs met and having extra joyful things. What is the will of God? This definition we give many times, the definition of the will of God is, it's the God's plan and purpose for our lives. It's what he desires for us. Not what you desire. Jesus said, not what I will, but yours be done. Now, some people might be listening to this, but they say, you know, I heard this before. Yeah, you heard this before, but you haven't applied it yet. I can tell just by being a pastor here, because we have a lot of needs that some people need to fill. Asking the same people to do 25 jobs, and some of you are sitting here every day, every week, week by week, not doing anything. Doing one thing, we have people doing here 25 jobs. My wife has about 26 jobs. Pastor Ken has about 27 jobs. Pastor Steve has 100. So there's different ones that are doing different things in the church. Different leaders, we try to get them to do different things. And they say, you know, this is what they say. They say, who are they? I don't know. But if you want something done, find the busiest person, they'll get it done. Just standing at the door shaking one hand is not enough. Giving out cards and telling people is not enough. There's more to this than just what we're doing. So you're out of the will of God. I don't care what you say. Get mad at me if you want. So there's two parts of God's will, as we mentioned. Number one, there's a discovery through reading God's and studying God, the scriptures, there's principles in God's word. There's principles in the word of God. There's what we call the general will. By reading God's word, we know the general will of God. We know that there's marriage, but who to marry is another thing. We know that God wants us to live, but where to live? Those are different things, right? So living in the wrong place can get us into trouble. That's why when we went to Bible school and I said, Lord, I want to go to Bible school. And I said, here's some Canadian Bible schools. It's going to be cheaper and more accessible. Just no problem with visas and money. I can work. I can do all these things. But here I went to Rhema. I needed a visa. I needed so much money in the bank. I had to uproot my family, leave my ministry, go down there and live in a hot sun and just go through tornadoes and listen to eat chicken, that fried country chicken, when I wanted beaver meat. I mean, it's all these things are different from me, right? So everything was so different for me that it just bothered me every day. In living in the South, people in the South are different. How many people know that? It's different. And they look at you like you're strange. No, they're strange. We went to just go to the store. They asked you, do you want a snack? I said, what is a snack? I guess it's a bag. We call it a bag for your stuff. So you get mixed up like that, right? They said, we're going to have a barbecue. Go to the barbecue. We're looking for a bunch of hamburgers and hot dogs. There's no hamburgers and hot dogs at the barbecue. It's like some kind of a soup of all kinds of stuff, like stew. Well, anyway, I love everything about it after. But anyway, there's a specific will of God where we have to spend time in our prayer closet, praying in the Spirit, searching the Scriptures, searching our heart, just spending time hearing God's voice and recognizing the witness of God. And when you know the witness, bang, it comes on. Oh, yes, now I know what to do. We can also determine the will of God through consultation with mature Christians. If you don't know, you're not a mature Christian, you can ask, help people. They can give you guidance, not tell you exactly what to do, but help you. You know, in a measure to help you get to the place where you're supposed to be. Other mature Christians. Consulting with them. Jeremiah 10:23 says that we don't know everything about what to do in our own lives as people. He said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh in to direct his steps. So it's not for us to determine, God, here's my plan. I want to do this business. I want to go to this school and bless it. I want to marry this person and make sure she's good enough for me. No, that's not the way to do it. We always ask people, God, honey, you can be anything you want to be. Oh, really? No, they can be anything what God wants them to be within the plan of God. They can be successful. Now, we can in a measure, we actually can be successful in a measure, have a business, whatever we want to do. We can actually really be in athletics. We can be successful in a measure, but in the long run, it's not really the best plan. You can make the money, have the accolades, whatever you want to do. You actually can do it because men are just, incredible creation. But it's not really true God's plan. Because the Bible is very clear about that. You can plan everything you want. At the end of your life, when you stand before God, God's going to say, I had a plan for you. What did you do? And it says in Timothy, some will suffer losses. And then some will gain. Not everything is gain here in this world. This is a short time. I thank God I was so blessed by hearing Stella's story. Yesterday that the couple days before she died, was it a few days before, 1 week or something before she died, 2 days before she died, the lady that I did the funeral yesterday, well, she died 2 days before she actually died again. Okay, it doesn't make sense. But anyway, before she died and went on to be, she went to heaven. She died. And she told God, I've got some things to do down there. So God said, okay, you can go back home. And she came back home and did all what she had to do, talked to her lawyers and straightened out different things. And then she exited. She told her family, called her family, talked to her sister, and told her about her experience. and just left a real good legacy about what God, what it's like in heaven. Listen, people, there, heaven is real. Heaven is real. Now, that's just an extra story that I heard. Like, my mom told me the same thing. She said, son, heaven is real. I know heaven is real, she said to me. I'm not afraid to die, she said to me. My mother. She said, when I was on the operating table, I went up to heaven. I heard the angelic choir. I'm going up to heaven. It's wonderful. You feel so good there. I know it feels good because I've been there. And then she comes back to her body. She said that when I came back to my body in ICU, my body was racked with pain. I did not want to come back. And she talked to God about my ministry. And asked God about Roma's ministry, my ministry. And God, my mom told me, and I'm the only boy that talks about it a lot because it meant so much for me because God told me about, that's why I'm in the ministry today. The Lord helped me through my mom. She never saw the full ministry, but she had a part to do in my life in that. Glory to God. Now, we got about 10 minutes to finish this off. Praise God. God's thoughts are not like ours, right? Isaiah 55 and 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. He don't think like us. He never asked you, what do you think about this plan? He said, you just follow this. I'm asking you to do it. Brother Hagin used to say this, every time I didn't follow God's plan, I got sick, physically got sick. And when he got sick and ended up in a hospital, he's in a hospital, he said, why did they get sick? God says, yeah, because you didn't do what I tell you to do. I asked you to preach this message, these messages. I gave you this message. This is the plan I gave you. But you're preaching all these messages because you like to do this and you want to do this ministry over here. One time he fell off the stage and broke his, almost shattered his arm and took it all out. The doctor said, I tell you the good news, bad news. And one is that it's not broken. That's the good news. The bad news is that you took all the ligaments, everything out. That's worse than having a broken arm. It's going to take longer to fix that than you would if you had a broken arm. But through faith in medicine, this will get better quicker than it actually will take. Now I'm asking you to follow my plan. He said, yes, sir, I'm going to follow your plan. Another time he had a heart attack in church, had a heart attack preaching a message, and he fell over under the power of God, and he was about to die. The Lord said to him, remember what I told you, lay your hands on your chest. He laid his hand on the chest, and Jesus told him, I told you to follow my plan. You're out where God never told you. You're out in the area. Now, he wasn't drinking, selling drugs, smoking cigarettes, running around with women, seeing prostitutes. He wasn't doing all that, stealing money from the church. He was just not following what the will of God is. So some of us, we think we like to do what we want to do. I know there's God's will, but I want to just do what I want to do. And you wonder why you're in trouble or some of your family members are in trouble. I know. And so we just do what we think we want to do. And then we cry out to God, ah! You know, because we didn't follow God in the first place. And get sick with cancer and because of all the stress on the job that you're not supposed to have. Yeah, you're making the money, but you ain't happy. And having a heart attack and fits and trying to impress everybody. Whose will are you following? God's will? Your will or somebody else or the devil? You know, so this is what we're talking about. This is a series I'm trying to give to you in 45 minutes. So the way you're going might seem right to you, but it might not be God's will. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Doesn't mean you're going to physically die right away. But the death could mean, you know, disastrous situations in your life. It could mean that you lose money, lose relationships, lose your health, lose your peace. You know? And so some people give up a whole part of their life. Brother Hagin says, you know, for a pastor, for a man who goes into the ministry, just because he wants to go into ministry and loses his family, has lost everything almost. It's for nothing. Because there's people who go into ministry. I know it because I've been there. I've seen people go into ministry and they quit halfway. No, you don't quit halfway. If not if God called you. I've had colleagues. We started off together some almost 30 years ago, and people who were, you know, and told me that Jesus appeared to them, talked to them about ministry, and yet they're not in ministry today. You know? And some of them have lost their health, lost their marriage, lost their business. I mean, there's the whole pile of things they lost because they didn't follow what God told them to do. That's just they got attacked, right? So, but listen, just because we're in the will of God doesn't mean that you'll be free from all attacks, but it means this, that you can go over those things. Right? So we can have heaven on earth. He says, thy will be done in heaven as on earth as it is in heaven, Matthew 10 and 11. So there's a lot of scripture I can show you from the Old Testament what God says. You're going to have stuff that you never, ever worked for. That's what he told the people there in Exodus and Numbers. And he said, you know, you're going to inherit land that you never even paid for. You're going to inherit buildings and stuff that you never even did anything for that is going to come to you. God's perfect plan. It's all in the Bible. I want to get there. How about you? I want to get there. I need to be there. Not just for myself. I said, Lord, I want to be rich. Rich means R-I-C-H, rich. Right? It means, you know, I'm going to be so prosperous that people look at me and say, hey, I'd like to be like that. I'm going to school every day, and the students tell me, you know, Roma, you're such a role model. You're such a role model, man. I want to be like you. Robbie sent me a message last week, said, Pastor, I want to be like you. That's good. Better than saying, I hate you. I wouldn't want to be near you. And so that's a good thing to be. But I want to be rich. I want to be able to give money and buy your car. You want a car today? Okay, come on over here. I'll buy you a car. Well, can that be possible? Yes, it's possible. It's like saying, you know, I'll never be sick. You know, I always believe this, and Brother Hagin taught us this. He says, you know, divine health, divine healing is wonderful, but divine health is a whole lot better. Amen. Trying to get well is great, but never getting sick is a whole lot better. You know, glory to God. I want, you know, my, I feel like, you know, I want to be like Kenneth Copeland. He's like my uncle. Fred Price is my cousin. Brother Hagin, he was my dad. Pastor Hagin is my brother. So we can't just live by popular opinion. I got 5 minutes. We can't live by popular opinion because people want you to live what they think is right for you. Parents try to make their kids into hockey players. They try to make their kids into ballet, whatever it is they're doing. They do all kinds of stuff. I have colleagues that had kids who went to junior hockey and lost their kid completely. Pastors. Who went double over and helped their kids. They never made it, but they just lost a whole lot trying to make the kid what they wanted, pushing the kid into some kind of education that they did, you know, putting the pressure on the kid, whatever. And sometimes it's going to be hard. You know, it's hard. Kids learning on their own is tough in this world, right? They're making all kinds of decisions that are hard. I see kids. I was talking to Pastor Giuseppe the other day. He has just a young boy that's 12 years old. I think he's in grade 7. He said, the kids now, they're having parties and everything. But he's not. He's not Pastor Giuseppe. He's not having those parties. I'm just saying he's not having. But, you know, there's stuff that's going on with these kids, man. Another teacher told me this. He said, I can't leave home. My 16-year-old, 15-year-old daughter, I'm going to have 100 kids in my house when I leave home. I'm talking to this guy in the gym. He said, I can't leave home. The kids just come over. 100 kids show up Friday night while he's eating steak at the keg. Comes home, where's my furniture? That's not the will of God. I want to give you this really quickly. God's will is that nobody dies without Jesus Christ. That everybody be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. That all be saved. God wants all of us to be saved. God wants us all to live for Him. 2 Corinthians 5:15. That we should not live for ourselves, but live to please God. So we should live to please Him, right? God's will is that what we do, we should consider that our decisions will affect every one of our children. Amen. What you do when you're in the perfect will of God will affect your children forever. Even if they did get into trouble, they might get into trouble, but they'll always come back. They're going to be safe. Amen. The Bible says, we have scriptures to show you these things. God says, choose life that both you and your seed shall live. When I choose life, according to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20, that my kids is going to live. Amen. Live the kind of lifestyle for God. It might not look like it right now. Might always not be the truth. The truth is, God's word is truth more than it's in the natural. Amen. So, have to cut off some of these things. I'm going real quick. God's will that we follow what He wants us to do. His perfect will. That we would follow so much that we spend our life in prosperity. Job 36, 11 and 12 said that we should obey Him and that we'll spend our life in prosperity and years in pleasure. But if we don't obey Him, we shall perish without any remedy. We ask questions like this in Job 21, 14 to 15. He says, what is the Almighty that we should serve Him, that we should pray unto Him? Why should we spend our time praying? Praying is no use. People say this all the time, but God says praying is important. We need to pay attention. God's will that you pay attention to Him. Deuteronomy 6 says that we pay attention to exactly what He wants us to do. In other words, don't just be careless about what He says. The Bible says that we should pay attention to what He wants us to do. Remember, we came out of Egypt, He says, that place of slavery. We should be not too careful to forget. Deuteronomy 6, you can read this whole chapter and find out in Deuteronomy 6 that we don't go back to the old way. God's will is that we walk in love. Romans 5, 5. We don't have time to teach on it. God's will for us is to be entirely blessed all the days of our lives. Amen. Totally blessed. 3 John 2 and 1 is above all things, I wish you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. God's will is that every natural need is met. Philippians says that God supplies all our needs. Verse 4:19, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He wants every one of our needs to be met. God's will is that we should close soon here. God's will is that for us to have a long, healthy life. Not just long life, but healthy. Amen. That we shouldn't die with sickness. And when you're ready, say, okay, God, I'm ready to go. I'm going. Like some people live long, but they're not healthy. They don't know where they are. They can't eat the food. They cannot enjoy anybody. So God wants us to be healthy when we go. It says Roman Fisher died in a good old age, full of riches and honor. That's what David said. David says that his natural force was not abated. You know, his eyes was not dim. He could see. Didn't have any cataract problems. You know? God's will is for us to be victorious in every battle of life. God wants us to be, 1 John 5:4 says that we can have victory. This is the faith. Our faith will have victory for every situation that faces. God wants us to have our prayers answered. He wants us to have our prayers answered all the time. 1 John 5:14 and 15. And then 1 Peter 3:12. God wants to hear our prayer. Let's go ahead and close. It's 2 minutes after 12 o'clock. And food's on the table. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray. Glory to God. Father, we want to thank You today that You have a plan for our lives. You have a perfect will. It's not enough for us to consecrate only, to say, dedicate. I dedicate my life today. Father, your word says that we must obey. We must obey your word. We must follow your word. We must seek to find your will by study, careful study of the word, to pay attention to the Spirit of God, to listen to my elders, to pay attention to signposts that are speaking to me that I must make some changes. So I want to thank you today that according to your word, that when we confess you as our Lord, that we're born again, that we're children of God, and that you have a plan for us. There is a perfect plan for our lives. Thank you, Lord, as we yield ourselves to you by Holy Spirit, that you would help us as we go along. You are our helper, our guide, our teacher. You are our intercessor. Help me to pray the perfect plan of God. So we will obey you. Let's say this. Father, we thank you for the perfect plan that you have. I will obey. I will not be unwise. I'm going to follow your word. I'm going to study your word. I'm going to be careful to listen and to follow, that I may be blessed in every area of life. My spirit and soul and body is completely blessed. Thank you for my salvation, Lord. Thank you that I'm born again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, if you're watching by television there, if you're at home, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you can be saved today by coming to Christ, by asking him, say, Jesus, come into my life. I'm a sinner. I need you today. If you just call on the Lord, you will be saved wherever you are. Let us know who you are. We want to send you something that will help you grow spiritually. And tune in next week or come and visit us if you're in the city. We'll see you next time. Goodbye. Thank you, Lord.